Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. On the phone, here I'm trying to think about the dichotomy of this. You know, I'm not going to give any names, but I was talking to John on the phone.
Thank you.
This was years ago last week. No, this wasn't John. We were, you know, covering a city, you know, with what God had called us to do, and it was driven for a prophetic word, and the prophetic word is Malachi. You know, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that he would send Elijah, and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. Well, I mean, it is everything comes against you when you're moving prophetically, because you're coming against the antithesis of that word. Mm-hmm. God starts to launch a word and to reestablish or establish, you're coming against the establishment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're coming against people that says, God is not concerned about it anymore. You know, that God doesn't care about the fatherless. You know, God doesn't care about the absence of my father in my life, and or the fact I'm there but I'm not there type thing.
Right.
And you're coming out saying, no, it's important. And so here we are, you know, we're up at, you know, saturating the city, you know, during the early morning hours, and we wanted to be able just to kind of pop the next day when they came up, and they would you drive through the city. So we're putting 1,000 signs around the city, and then it has, you know, Malachi on it, and one side it said, Dad, please take me. Yeah. You know? And the other side it said, Sir, please take me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because nobody would ask. We had to ask on behalf of the kid, because most people say, you know, I'm so busy, I can't get to. And it's just powerful. God was using that to speak, you know, and part of the, you know, the campaign to fill in the virtual stadium, you'll hear more about it through VFN Radio. That is going to the next level for the whole nation now. But with that, I'm sitting here talking on the phone to somebody who just got married. They just got married, I don't know, maybe 24 hours ago. It was actually approximately almost hitting 48 hours.
Right.
And so I have, you know, this is the cell phone. It wasn't the brick, but it was a little bit.
Pretty close to the brick.
Pretty close to the brick. And
cement block.
Yeah, and every yard sign does not go in the ground well. You know, we determined in that city we were doing that in, that we understood that soil is different everywhere you go in the city.
Oh, yes.
That's not dirt. That's concrete.
Yeah, right.
Looks like dirt, but ain't dirt.
And so we're driving this word home, you know, crying out for the fatherless. And of course, if we're going against the mindsets in the establishment, they just call you, they think you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the boys didn't think we were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They were pumped. Mm-hmm. They called cabs to come see us.
Yeah.
And the men were angry with us, because we brought the ideas like, did you ever think about spending time with your son?
Mm-hmm.
Or we exposed the reality is that even a man wasn't willing to take a fatherless boy in the wilderness. I mean, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But then the ones that did, we found that out as well, that there was men. The men that stood there boldly today, that I'm so proud of these men, especially what, you know, Satan does, you know, that it's the enemy is so against any form of attention that a man's going to pay any child anywhere, including his own. And anyway, so I'm on the phone. Now, you got to understand this. And we didn't just get here. I'm on the phone with this particular person who's been married now for 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I talked to this person before they got married, you know, and listen, if you want to make sure you got a good foundation for your marriage, first of all, don't marry a Christian.
Mm.
Marry a godly person.
That's right.
I got good news for you. This will help you out. Oh, I'm a Christian. Right. You just showed up at this gathering because you're wanting to snag me as your spouse. Mm-hmm. No, I want to see your life. Mm-hmm. Do you walk with God? Do you hear God? Do you obey God? Do you abide with God? And so these two Christians married. And I'm saying, listen, you know, go through some time of, you know, they call it counseling, but it's really not counseling. It's like, you know, what I'd like to do at that time, and I don't do it anymore, but I help other people do it. And is you want to find the stress points in a conversation with a couple and help them learn how to work through difficult circumstances and realize you can't teach people how to be married, but you can teach them how to abide with God and how to handle the tough things that come up. And if you can communicate, communion, a part of healing me is hearing me. So anyway, that, you know, that's some of the things that I taught and teach others to do now. And a lot of people just avoid it. And then you just sit mm-hmm. back and enjoy their life watching afterwards. Like, oh, so he says, you know, I'm sitting there just pleading with him because, you know, I love them and I love them. And I didn't want him to go through the pain. There's going to be pain no matter what you think. If you do not, I mean, first of all, relationships, period, with anybody, you know, if you love them enough, it's only the loving relationships that cause you pain. It's not the ones you don't love. I mean, come on. Right. And so, and hopefully, you know, who does God love? We should love everybody, right?
That's right.
That's right.
So everybody's a pain. It can cause pain, I meant.
Right.
And so, you know, in that, you know, I'm leaning over this table, never forget, and I'm saying, I know right now you're thinking that you're going to get married, because he's saying this. He goes, we'll just do that after we get married. Let me explain something to you.
Wrong answer.
Everything's going to change when the I do is done.
Over.
Yep.
And I'm not saying bad or good, but just the motives change.
Yeah.
I've already married you. So why, you know, why deal with myself? You know, why even be concerned about it?
I got you now.
Yeah, right. I got you now, you know. And so he or she, you know, loses their motivation. But if they want to marry you, they're motivated on the other side of not married to you. And you've given away, it's like saying, hey, I want you to run a race, but here's a first place ribbon. And somebody says, I got the ribbon already. Why should I go through the pain and agony of running this race, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, of course, he looks at me like so many have done and says, dear Brother Greg, don't you understand? We're different than everybody else.
Mm.
I'm a worship leader. I am a leader in the church. Mm. I understand God. She even dances. When I sing, she dances around the place worshiping God. You know, and I'm like, dude, listen to me.
Yeah.
You know? And it was for her sake as well. I mean, both of them.
Right.
Because you got to go, my goal was I want you, when I say, do you take this man or woman to be your husband or wife, I just wanted you to know who it is. And don't just
but
say
I
do.
I do too.
Yeah, I want you to know who you're saying I do too. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then if you said I do to what you knew who that I do was, I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
They are now your ministry. Enjoy your life. You know, and so here I end up, and so he didn't take the wisdom. But like Solomon, he learned the wisdom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so 48 hours after being married, he's calling me up. I'm out 3 o'clock in the morning prophesying with yard signs and setting these things, thousands of signs up, trying to find it's hard to find a good man. I told all the women in the communities at the time, I said, because I was trying to find mentors, you know, to take these boys for a weekend.
48 hours.
Which is equivalent to 13 and a half years of the average father's life.
That's right.
I'm like programmed with that. And so,
I know it.
Because the average father spends what?
37 seconds a day.
35 seconds a day of undivided attention with their children. And that was then. I'll tell them what it is now. He texted me. And
yeah,
so,
that was before smartphone.
Yeah, it was before smartphone. Mm. And so I'm prophesying we're prophesying with these signs, and I have this phone on my shoulder, and I'm talking to him, and one night, one early morning, putting up 1,000 signs, can't we do this tomorrow? You know? And of course it's early morning hours, and he's going, listen. And I said, yes. He said, "She's following me around."
Humorous moments.
I said, "You know, she's your wife." He says, "You know, because, you know, if you've been single for a while, you just don't realize how selfish you are until you start living your life with people. When you start to be the church and quit just going to it, I mean, the narcissism and idolatry in the American church has become, our hearts become revealed, because you start finding out that's my stuff and my things and my time is like, no, it's God's.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's, you know, and it belongs to God." And anyway, so, you know, he said, you know, he's used to being, you know, into himself and isolated and that type of thing. And so he'd go to the next room and she would follow him into the room. Ladies, if you're listening right now, when a man walks away, you know, they're like rubber bands. You let them go. The further you let them go and get their thoughts together and their mind together, the further you will let them go, the quicker they'll come back. It's like a rubber band. You stretch it out. If you stretch it really far, it'll come back. But if every time they're trying to get a little stretch in the rubber band and you're letting the slack up, they're shutting down. You know, they're like, need some time to think. What I'm thinking now is not good. But the interesting thing is this, you know, this is what he's saying. And this is a leader. This is a leader in the church, traditional expression of church. He's asking questions like, "Well, am I really married?" I'm like,
"Oh my God."
I'm like,
"Are you serious?"
I'm thinking, hold on a minute. Don't do anything rash. You've been married 48 hours. Anything that you were going to do has already been done in this 48 hours. You know, you're married.
That's right.
And so, hold on a minute. And it boiled down to this, that he was a fatherless boy that became a man.
Mm-hmm.
His father abandoned him. He didn't know how to be a man. He didn't know how to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, society says, be a man. And they tell you, this is how you do it. It's like, that's not how you teach a man to be a man. And then you're going to ridicule me and shame me for not being what was never taught to me. You know, and so we're prophesying. So here I am. I mean, it just speaks volumes that I'm talking to the pain of a fatherless son, which is now in his late 30s or his mid 30s, whose father had abandoned him. And he's trying to figure out how to do this thing called what? Normal.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't feel normal. And at the same time, we're crying out for the next generations of sons. So I had an older son on one ear and I had a prophetic sign in the other ear. Well, I had a religious church telling me this is not really that important. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
But the Lord said that unless this happens, I'm going to smite the earth with a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we looking at? The whole earth is quaking and shaking right now.
Right.
I mean, the Lord showed up in my office. He showed up. I was in my office preparing for a gathering that I was going to speak at. And it was almost 10 years to the day that God called me when I was in Israel to do what I was doing. It was 10 years to the day, because I remember talking to you, John, and looking back on some documents or something at the time, and goes, it's been 10 years to the month at least. And he showed up. His presence was in my office, and I just like, bam, I just stood at attention, you know, like, oh my goodness, you know, just charged environment. And it was like, the Lord speaks to me and says, you know, the prophecy's finished. They didn't turn. Now I'm commissioning you for the next season. It was powerful. It was a powerful transition that took place.
Yeah.
And which was sad too, but right after that is when Haiti began to shake and quake, which is like 50% of the population there is 19 years old or younger. I mean, it is a fatherless people. Yeah. And it began at Haiti. It began in Haiti. And they're running through the people who, so many people who denied God, and they're Christians in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all the voodoo and all the corruption and their pact, their historical pact that was made with the adversary years ago. They're running through the streets as it's shaking and they're crying out to God. They said, we deserve this. Oh, dear God, have mercy. They're screaming, running down the streets.
Mm.
You know, it's like, but, you know, we can respond to God by just doing what's right. We don't have to wait for the earth to quake and shake. But look, ever since that day, ever since that encounter, after that 10 years nonstop, driven to drive that word home, that prophetic word home. And it was so loud that the governor of the state began to change his speeches, and he ended it with Malachi. Mm-hmm. It was so loud that all the way from America, it made it to Indore, India, where Pradeep, with World Vision, began to desire us to come to different countries in different cities in India. And it was amazing. But the thing was, is that if we don't respond to God, it just becomes an event.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Somebody says, well, this is just an event. It's only an event because we didn't do what the campaign was for.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't turn our hearts to God and turn our hearts to our children. It was just powerful. Everything was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing was that, that I was talking to, just because he's older didn't mean he's not that same boy that was sitting there crying in this tunnel of tears being affirmed by a man in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's so many lies now that's sown, and so much accusation that's sown, that anybody's scared to be nice to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy, because if you don't, passion denied perverts, if you don't give them the attention, they're going to demand it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why today I think, man, those men were so awesome for 10 years to come out there with those boys, with all society. And it's just the weirdest thing. You won't believe, I'll share it in just a moment, we come back. But they have a Planned Parenthood has an event called Clergy for Choice. Clergy for Choice.
What?
And they have 40 days of prayer. 40 days of prayer for clergy of choice. And they're praying the opposite. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. Why? Because the enemy is against the children. The enemy wants to kill our children. He wants our children to feel unloved. He wants us to not give our children what they need from a parent and from, society. And he wants to divide everybody and make everybody like sand instead of like concrete. And I just want to encourage you today that if you are that person that, you're 40, you're 50, you're 30, but inside you're still 8 because you got stuck and nobody taught you how to be 9. No man taught you how to be 9. And no one taught you how to be 16. And, outside they're saying, hey, take care of these bills and do this job, and they're blaming you for stuff that you're just surprised you're even there,
Right. Mm.
And inside you're terrified. But realize, that was a strategy of the enemy to emasculate you and not give you what you need. You don't have to just divert and run into some other a wrong relationship trying to get that. God can give that to you. When the church wakes up and becomes, what we're supposed to become, the intimacy that you missed in your family, you come back, you get it. You can't force your people to be something they're not, but you're who is my mother, who is my brother, Jesus said. In the family of God, you can have mothers and fathers in the Lord. You can have brothers and sisters in the Lord that you can, it's going to be a little bit rough because, you're just not going to believe it. You may show up and kind of just watch what happens, but eventually you start realizing that there is such thing as genuine family. We've got to recapture this.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you'll, start building your confidence, and then you'll actually, you like hearing somebody loves you, and you don't believe it. Mm-hmm. But after a while, you'll start believing it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And all of a sudden, one day, you just fully believe, hey, I'm loved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the enemy wanted to do. The enemy wanted to take away the reality of God's love for you. And when you're loved, when you know who you are and you're rightly related, everything else is a no-brainer. It's just life's real easy at that point. But when you don't know that you're loved and you don't know who you are and you're still, untaught, life circumstances, men learn through observation and practical application and just watching things happen. Mm-hmm. And if they've never had any of those paradigms, or they watched television to learn how to do it, it's amazing. And so I'm going to share some things in the extra hour too as well. you know, that in Time magazine where President Bill Clinton saying five ideas that are changing the world, and one of them is that, you know, women come into power, but it's like, how much more power? It's like, you know, the men have disappeared. Where are the men?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, can't we both exist together? Can't we coexist in our roles together? Does one role have to overtake the other role?
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. And Satan has a strategy. Satan has a strategy, and it's the fathers, you know, who speak the identity and the blessing and over their children, no matter what the devil tells you and what religion is thinking God has changed. Mm-hmm. And just be encouraged. That's what we're here in this conversation, to encourage you, to let you know, hey, I understood that the 30-something-year-old man that was on my shoulder as a phone, as I was holding the phone with my shoulder while I'm using my other hands to be able to put the sign, but I also understood the boys. They needed it. And I understood too the people who were coming against me, because for them not to say what we were doing was important is to say that they're fatherless themselves.
Mm.
And they don't even understand the significant role of that, that even God himself said, unless this actually happens, I'm going to smite the earth with a curse. Mm. If you haven't had a chance yet, go look what happened since 2008. Look what's happened in the world since that day. And God told me it's going to happen. We're probably looking at about 10 years of quaking and shaking. But it's not meant to destroy us. It's meant to get us to look up and turn our hearts back to the Father. That's just memory lane as we're talking about some things that happened in the past. And it's just memory lane as we're talking about some things that happened in the past. And, you know, having, you know, an adult, you know, fatherless son on the... on a phone, and yet reaching out for the next generation. And it was so cool. A lot of them, you know, Derek was one of the boys that came on to, man, now he's a man. He's a man. And you can find him on the VFN Torch. You know, some of his segments are in highlights of him of sharing, but he's a father now and got kids and all that
amazing
stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's got the same smile and all.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
He was, matter of fact, he was preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And another young man that was out there, he's a youth minister now. But then he was just a boy, but now he's a man, and he's a youth minister helping young people out and all. And there's all over the world. I remember when, you know, Amber was at IHOP Kansas City, the International House of Prayer, and she sat in a classroom, and she looked at the guy next door and a seat or whatever, and he starts talking to her, and she realizes that he was one of the participants for during the 10-year period of going to the next step, you know, out by Father and Son Camp and Trust that we call them. And
amazing.
And it's just touched the world. And you know what? You know, if you're thinking about, you know, is what you're doing for the Lord significant, nothing you do for God is in vain. Not one thing that you do for him is in vain.
That's right.
But realize the most effective things that you do, you know, for him will be the most things that cause you to feel like it's insignificant, because, you know, society itself will make you feel that way. It'll make you feel like, you know, it's not good. And the truth is, it is good.
Mm-hmm.
It is good. And that's why the enemy's lying. He's a liar and he's a father of lies. Mm-hmm. So don't believe the lie. For example, when a kid says, hey, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear any kind of wisdom. What they're really saying is like, my life's falling apart and I don't want to humble myself, but I need everything that you're saying. Can you say it in a way where it looks like I'm not actually having to listen to you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you got to read between the rebellion, right?
Mm.
The, you know, you think about this, that, you know, we want to talk about in just a minute about what's happening with the United Nations and Iran and all, but take a moment here. Dr. Dobson, he spent his entire life, you know, dedicated to studying the family. When you think about it, I mean, his ministry is called Focus on the Family. I mean, he studied marriage, he studied children, he studied John. And, just joking. And, I mean, if you're going to get any wisdom on how to raise children, it would be from Dr. James Dobson.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you think, well, he's gonna, you know, I mean, raising kids, I mean, not just, you know, having tenants called kids in your home. I'm talking about raising kids.
Big difference.
It's a big difference. You know, when you raise corn, that means there is no corn. You plant the seed and you raise it. It comes out of the ground. It produces something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's productive. It's called raising corn, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's a big difference in raising children versus having tenants that you tolerate. And it's the hardest thing you'll ever do because you love, you know, parents love their kids so much, you know. And I've heard some lies about society. You know, they say, you know, society's problem is because it's all because of parents. And it's like, well, really? How could it be that way? I know parents that have tried everything that they could try. You know, a single mother or a single father or double parents. Everybody has an individual will. You know, and they blamed all society's problems on bad parenting, which explained that person.
Yeah.
To the T. Anyway, and so, you know, you're seeking Dr. James Dawson. He's going to tell us how to raise teenagers, right?
Right.
And let's just go buy Dr. Dobson's book and get his DVD. He wrote a book called Bringing Up Boys. He talks about. He said he had this, like, 20-foot rope, you know, tied to a tree. This is probably something that you would have done.
Probably.
Yeah. But, and he tied it, and he's going to jump out of the tree, and he's going to swing it with this rope, this 20-foot rope. But the problem was the branch that he tied it to was only 10 foot away from the ground.
Oh, my God.
There was a 10-foot differential there. And
obviously he wasn't melancholy. He didn't measure it first.
He didn't measure at all, you know. I think boys, though, young boys, no matter their personality, that frontal lobe is very important. It needs to develop.
Mm.
You know, you think it you know, anyway, so and so here's Dr. Dobson. You know, you're gonna find out what Dr. Dobson has to say. I mean, this is gonna be the secret. Because obviously I must be doing everything wrong. And so I'm going to go talk to the man who studied him. And this is what Dr. Dobson said. I mean, this all those years, John, everybody, and this is what Dr. Dobson says, right? He goes, the teenage years, just get through them.
Thank you.
Just get through them. I'm like, can you expound on that?
Yeah,
they
really
last longer than that sentence, you know, just get through them. You know, I think about this. You know, it doesn't say, the Bible does not tell us, you know, how old Satan was when he rebelled against God.
Hmm.
But I'm sure he was a teenager. Oh, my goodness. It's just real tough. You know, you're trying to find yourself as a teenager and you're trying to get your own, but you're frustrated because you're still, you know, a suckling on your parents', you know, substance. But then you're saying, I am my own. It's hard to put your foot down when it lands in your parents'. Oh, it's a tough transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you have a father who loves you, you know, your father, and this is why the father's been emasculated and pulled out, but a father's going to say, well, it's just time for you to grow, boy. He was like,
that's right.
You'll figure it out. Go plant yourself in some dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because he knows that the kid's going to have to kick in.
That's right.
But there's so many things interfering with the way fathers raise their kids today that, you know, what they call safety nets are destroying our children.
Huge.
You know, it would have been better for them to wallow in the mud a little bit, you know, and feed the pigs a little bit, you know, and the consequences of their decisions a little bit, than to run down there and give them a stimulus package so they could live in some place that kept them stuck in the mud, you know, for 10 years of their life. Right?
Yeah. You introduced them to two new friends, Sam and So Knight. Here you go.
Sam's
and Sam and So Knight.
You're right. He's like, I'm leaving. Yes, baby, you're leaving. Well, your bags are already at the door. You know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you know, just helping somebody—that's what God does to us.
Sure.
And that's what God does to us. And it's like, but the devil has so many things into our nation's fabric, and I have a lot of theories about that, and I believe a lot of word of knowledge about that, but aren't talking about that much, but the it's all demonic when it comes time to anything interfering the way the father would raise his daughters and his sons, because God has innately put something inside that father or mother, you know, to be able to impart into them, you know, something that society that doesn't understand how God's designed us, that everything has to die first before it can become something. Everything has to, I mean, even the egg inside of a woman, there is no doorway. It has to fight its way out. There is no, I mean, there's pain. A woman has mm-hmm. pain in the process of bringing forth a child. Everything's, it's, there's the brokenness of life and things that you just learn from that. But if you keep that away from somebody, they never learn. They just stay in this immature suckling state.
Yeah.
And the government just wants to be, replace God. You know, one of the names for God is the breasty one.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, as you begin to cry out for God, provision comes from God. And the government wants to replace God and them to become the breasty one, where,
right.
you know, if you need something, we'll provide for you. If you need medical, we'll provide for you. If you need mm-hmm. provision, we'll provide for you. And all of a sudden, they don't cry out to God anymore.
Sure.
They cry out to government.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it was okay to cry out to God.
Right.
You know, and that's how God's designed things. And, you know, a child will never grow up despite them being 50 if they never learn to cry out to God. They never learn to turn to God and cry out. They're just stuck.
Right.
And they've never seen the provision. You talk a mother, a breastfeeding mother, that she could be across her house from a total different room. And as soon as that baby begins to cry, that God's designed the mother's body, that instantly she will fill up with milk, ready to feed that baby. Wow. I mean, it just happens.
Wow.
And so the baby gets frustrated sometimes and doesn't nurse. And so she gets frustrated, says, listen, I have provision for you. You're just going to have to line up.
Mm.
And that's how God is. It's like God's going, I'm the one that's giving you the air and the substance. You got to cry out to me, but you can't just get it any way you want it. This is how you receive substance from me.
Mm.
And the mother just gets more provision and more provision, where she starts hurting because so much milk is dropped because the baby's crying produces provision in the mother. And listen, if you're, that's how God is. One of his names, one of the defined names of God, if you look at the definition, it means the breasty one, the provision of God, the substance of God. But you got to line up to get it. You can't mm-hmm. just say, throw it over here, my well of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to line up. If you're crying out to the right source, to God, you know, and going through the blood, which is Jesus' blood, and saying, listen, Lord, I need you. I mean, mm-hmm. God's going to provide for you. But if you've provided for your kids every step of the way, now they're like 50, they've never got a chance to cry out to God and find out he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's such a strategy. You can see what the how the enemy's using the government to take over the role of fathers, to take the role of family, take the role of God in all these different areas, and saying, we'll take care of you.
And because of that different or even become a warped perception, those that begin to take their hands off and allow their young people, the children they've been raising, to grow up and become the men and the women. It's you know, it's time to play the man. It's time to play the woman. It's time to do now. That could almost seem as if that was wrong to those people's eyes. How could you let them suffer? How could you let them suffer? Who in America suffers when you think about it?
Right.
You know, who in America really suffers? You have children that were working so hard so many years ago as young children. You know, even in my own family, my grandmother, I remember stories her telling as a child working on the farms. And it's like no one in America really can say that they truly suffer. We found out that we're in the richest percentile of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's through that suffering, it's through that going through, like you said, the pain, that we can actually learn.
Yeah.
But if we're looking back and looking for dependence upon a parent or anyone else but God, how are we going to make it?
And you look at the people. Well, you look at the people that's accomplished anything. If you listen to their life story, it consists of them going through pain. They were willing to go through the pain of the process to be able to arrive. I might have, you know, Tim Tebow's book sitting on my shelf, and to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, Brett gave me a picture of Tim when he was praying for the Denver Broncos. Thank you, Brett. Mm-hmm. And sitting there to remind me and have his DVD that, I mean, he didn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's dragging tires, trees, pushing cars. I mean, he's aggressively going. I mean, he's got to be willing to tell himself no and tell mm-hmm. himself yes at the right times and go through the process of all that. And we celebrate people who paid the price. We complain when people are trying to encourage other people to be successful. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
How can you be trying to help me? You're having me drag a tire. Well, that's, you said you wanted to be a Tim Tebow. You're going to have to drag a tire.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to deny yourself. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm going to have to deny myself. And and it's the process.
Yeah. You know, they wrote a book called The Millionaire Next Door several years ago. And the whole idea was to study millionaires. And they wanted to find out, these marketers, these companies hired these marketers to find out, how does the average millionaire think in America? So they just took a person who had a net worth of about $1 million. And they realized some really interesting things, that the average millionaire, the millionaire next door, was a person that actually worked very hard. They didn't make this Hollywood money or whatever, this gobs amount of money. They lived below their means. They lived in a house that was below what they could actually afford. They drove American cars that, you know, their credit cards weren't, you know, American Express Black, you know what I mean? But they were actually, you know, just Visas or whatever. They had JCPenney cards and stuff like that. And so they started interviewing them. What they found out was, one study was just about first generation people that came to the United States. They became so successful. And what they found out is that here's this working mom or dad who started a business here. They're working hard at their job. They rose the ranks. And now they've accumulated all this wealth. And yet they instead encouraged their children to do the very same thing that they did. They started buying them cars and sending them to colleges and propping them with all this, you know, stuff, thinking that that's how they're going to, you know, do well. And what they did was you know, bring a dependent, you know, next generation. And so next generation is totally dependent on the parents that came on over, and is thinking, you know what, that's not how it needs to be. You know,
and now the government's saying, listen, as a matter of fact, you know, all the way up to the age 25 now, you can be on your parents' insurance policy. And it's like, he's married and he's got three kids and he's a soldier in Afghanistan. Why does he need to be, you know, right, that type of thing? It's like,
serious.
You're not grown up by 25. Come on.
Dude, it's half of 50.
Yeah, it's half of 50. And you look at our generations past, I mean, you know, that's half life.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, it's a strategy. It's a strategy for nobody to ever grow up, nobody ever to cry out to God, and everybody to be kind of stuck in God not being the provider, but someone else being the provider for what's.
Yeah, the scriptures say that the laborer's appetite works for him. It drives him on. It's nothing like being hungry and needing to work. You know what I'm saying?
We'll be right back in a moment. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You know, it's time for the wisdom moment. You know, we always talk about, you know, we need wisdom, God's wisdom. And with that, you know, you look at Proverbs, the word of God. You know, Jesus is wisdom. You know, one of the wisest men outside of Jesus Christ that ever lived was Solomon. Solomon and all of his wisdom. And so, you know, he wrote in the book of Proverbs. And today is the third of the month. And so we are going to look at Proverbs chapter 3. We always do the corresponding day of the month with a corresponding chapter because there's 31 days. And so we're looking this morning at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We're just going to read this and just talk about it because we want wisdom, right?
Right.
Lord, give us wisdom. And this is what the word says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Wow. Mm. You know, I don't have as much difficulty as other people because they're so smart. You know, but first of all, he tells us this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times can we be guilty of giving God 80% of our heart, but 20% of it, you know, we're fearful about that part, or we're like, oh, and because of that, of course, our paths aren't straight, and we don't have a peaceful life. We're not able to make it through difficult circumstances. We're like all over the map. And so trust, you think about trust. Trust is trust. You think about a child, you know, when they're real little, you're holding, you know, a toddler on your hip or your arm, and they're just hanging all over the place, and they're not even thinking about hitting the floor. Mm-hmm. They don't even think about that the floor is hard, that dad or mom could drop me. Mm-hmm. And you've got to actually make sure as their parent that you keep them from dropping, because they trust you so much. It doesn't even cross their mind. Mm-hmm. Until you drop them, I guess, you know, and it isn't, then, you know, anyway. So, but think about it, that we got to have that kind of trust in God. Mm-hmm. We got to have that kind of trust in God. Right. You know, the old thing about called footprints, you know, when the man is, you see this picture of these footprints going through the beach, and it's just totally washed clean, the sand is. It's real smooth, and you see one set of footprints going down. And the statement is, you know, Lord, I can't believe that you left me here all alone. And I had to do all of this on my own. You know, he's real offended with God or something of that nature. And then he finds out in the very end, he says, that's not your footprints. Those are my footprints. I was carrying you through all that.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that awesome?
That's good.
It's like, doing. Oh, yeah, Lord. Right. You know, I took credit for all. Lord, forgive me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I mean, watch children with their parents. It's amazing. It's like this default setting, you know, that they're going to take care of everything. Everything's totally fine. I mean, I've never seen a five-year-old come in and go, I'm a little concerned about the balance in the checkbook. I was thinking about the mortgage today. I mean, what is our interest rate? And do we need to readjust or refinance today? No, they just come in and go, hey, do you have some Tonker toys? some game to play? Or, you know, and they just have this innocence about them. You know, unless you become like a child, Jesus said, you can't even enter into the kingdom of God. And so we've got to understand that if we want this straight path, if we want this peaceful path in God, then we got to have a trust in him. And, you know, love always trusts. Somebody says, I love God, but I just don't trust him. Mm-hmm. Those are bipolar statements. They're mm-hmm. the up and down statements. They're right and left. They're the antithesis of each other. Because if you love God, you trust him. Mm-hmm. Because love always trusts.
Right.
And so I say, oh my goodness. There's areas of my life and my heart that I have not been trusting God in. And it could be because, it probably is because you trusted others or trusted God, you know, and you were hurt. Well, that's why God heals us. He heals us from all that, you know, and it's being hurt is not an excuse not to follow God, you know, right?
Mm, yeah, that's right.
If it was, Jesus would have an excuse not to follow the Father, right? And so trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. Now, he's not saying that we don't have understanding. We talked about that yesterday. You know, we want to be able to have discretion. We want to be involved in the affairs of our life. And, you know, we do everything we can do in our own strength in regards of laying things out and being wise and being good stewards and all that. But we don't, and we lay the plan out, but we don't trust in our plan. We trust in the God of the plan.
Right.
When a lot of people are just waiting for, you know, provision to drop from heaven, you know, they're manipulating in how they're treating people to get something from them, but with this, you know, you're involved. You actually have understanding. You write the vision, for example, for your life and make it plain so that others can run with it and all the things he says in Habakkuk 2:2-3. You do that, but you don't. That's not what you trust in. I mean, you make that clear. You write it down. And that's your understanding based on what you see and God saying in his word. But do you trust in God to bring it to pass? I mean, think about Joseph. Joseph had an accurate vision. He had a vision for where he was going to be, what was going to happen with his family, how things were going to go. And he began to share that vision.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
But he did not lean on his own understanding, because if he did, he would have just demanded of them to do what he actually saw in his vision. Instead, you know, he allowed them, I mean, if it was allowed, he had more brothers trying to, you know, it's amazing his brothers were trying to do him in.
Right.
And shared it with his brothers, and his brothers, you know, okay, we're going to have to kill him.
Right.
They were so prideful, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to kill him. And so they negotiated, they voted. You know, we'll just sell him into slavery.
Right.
You know anybody that can get him a job? Anyway, so the, so with that, he just went in. That was God's plan. He didn't try to wrap his brain around that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how do you wrap your brain around that?
Right.
You know, he was thrown into the pit. Pit stands for preachers in training,
right,
you
right.
know, rejection of your brothers. And so with that, he just held on to God. He trusted God through all that. And he was in slavery. Then he was promoted to Potiphar's house. Then he was lied on. I mean, if the internet was around during the days of Joseph,
mm-hmm.
and you had bloggers and you had, you know, the television and all that, you know, Joseph would have been somebody that was reported as dead. You could actually search, do a Google search or a Bing search, and you would find his obituary,
uh-huh.
wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because he said he's dead. They carried the jacket back.
Uh-huh.
And then you would find out how dysfunctional his family is, because then when they found out he wasn't dead, they'll uncover the plot of the patriarchs.
Right.
of how they had a plan and a strategy to be able to do him in. And so he wasn't dead. They just told their dad he was dead, and they sold him into slavery.
Uh-huh.
So now you have slavery in the family. You have religious lies. You have people lying to their father. I mean, when you do a Google search, it's going to be bad. Then the next level is that when he's working for Paul, I'm telling you this because you can't lean on your own understanding. Because, I mean, if that would have been you going through all that, I mean, come on, today? I mean, all the things happening, but nothing's changed. It's just the way that they're getting it out and more information about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he goes and he's working for Potiphar. He's doing really well. God's blessing him as always. And then Potiphar's wife falls in love with him, or right. in lust with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants him sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And Potiphar's out. And so she thinks, I guess because she's, you know, Potiphar's wife, that she can have everything she wants. And so when nobody's around, she tries to entice Joseph to have sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it. And he runs. Sometimes you just got to run. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Run for your life. You know? And so he runs, but she grabs his coat. And so when Potiphar comes back, she's scorned. So then she begins to blog. Now she begins to tell CNN. All
right.
She begins to report that he raped me.
Mm-hmm.
He raped me. So now if you do a Google search on... I'm talking about lean not on your own understanding. Don't worry about all this stuff. Realize nothing's changed. It's what they're doing with the information's changed. God's still the same. Trust and lean not on your understanding. So then, if you Googled him now, that he actually he's listed as a sexual predator because he had reportedly raped
right.
Potiphar's wife. Right. Did he do it? No. Did they say he did it? Yeah. Did he get sentenced to jail for it? Oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. Now he's a prisoner.
Right.
He's in jail. He's in jail for rape. Did he rape? No. What was he doing with his brothers when he went out to go see him when they sold him into slavery? It's what the father wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he was doing everything right, but everything wrong was happening to him. But you cannot trust and lean on your own understanding. I'm telling you this. Listen to me. If you just hold on and don't pay attention to all this, you know, hype and realize the reason why it just seems different today, they're reporting it differently today. You know, and so here he is in prison, and then progressively, if you see it again, you know, an article would come up about the fact that he was a person that had the ability to interpret, or God, he trusted God to interpret dreams, and he gave a key to getting two people out of jail, but they lied to him, and they didn't let him out, You know, so he was stuck in prison, but he didn't get bitter. I mean, think about this. I mean, leaning on your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, one day they come to get him because they know that Pharaoh had these dreams and that he was the one that interpreted the dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up leading just like the vision was. Just like the vision was. But see, you could have messed up. If you would have leaned on your own understanding, you might have retaliated. If you would have leaned on your understanding, you may have gotten bitter towards your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the patriarchs. They're going to be, you know, heavens, they get their names in heaven, okay?
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, you could have become bitter in slavery that you got, you know, in a situation. But you understand that, you know, just don't trust in your own understanding. And then you get accused of over and over and over again about things you didn't do. And like the Trump word in America and the American church is the word sex with it. But the reality is we're going to talk about probably tomorrow, no, probably for Thursday, is that, you know, 50% of the church is addicted. They say addicted to pornography and all that. And it's like, why, you know, if it's like, we got to get past this and find out what's up, what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or viewing it on a regular basis, they said.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so he has all this lingering over him, and then they just come and get him. The will of God against his will comes to pass. I like what Robert Kennedy said. You know, Robert Kennedy was running for president. He's the brother of, you know, John F. Kennedy, who was assassinated November the 22nd, 1963. And he's running, I believe, in 1968. And he gets the news. He's standing. He's given a speech. And in the speech, they come and whisper in his ear, and a huge tragedy took place in our country. And anybody could relate to that tragedy. Robert Kennedy could relate to it because his brother was assassinated in Texas on November 22nd, 1963, and they whispered in his ear that Dr. Martin Luther King has been assassinated. And you just see, that's on a video, you can see his response to that. And he's just, I mean, the whole heart of America is just broken. The hope, because this man was an apostle. I mean, he was bringing a people out of oppression, and it was just, you know, it was just horrific. And then he says this, which is powerful. He quotes from, I think it's Xerxes or something like Xerxes or some philosopher. He says, pain that will not stop, that falls drop by drop upon your heart. And somehow, in your sleep, against your will, comes God's awesome grace and wisdom, and you're free. Hmm. You think about that, and I'll put the exact quote up. I remember that bit. But, you know, you go through those moments when you're going through these processes that when all the, you know, I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. That, and so you think, okay, I'm going to get me some containers because I need some milk containers. Y'all grab some honey containers. And the first place they go to is a place with bitter waters and in a desert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to have to walk through the process before you get the provision. I mean, God's just not going to take. He took Saul without process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saul went from zero to hero in 5 seconds, and it didn't work out.
Right.
He regretted the day that he ever made him king.
Mm-hmm.
Well, David went through process, mm-hmm. and we're talking about Joseph right now. And so understand, against his will, God's will came to pass. Against Moses' will, when it came time for Moses to do what God said, he didn't went through all that. But you don't lean on your own understanding. You have to, listen, this is between you and God. Don't worry about what men think about you. You know, don't do things intentionally to offend men, because you don't want to get, you know, you don't want to stir any dissension up. You don't want to intention, you know, although what they're doing is evil, ultimately like this is what Joseph said. He said, what you meant for evil, which means they meant it for evil, God meant it good. So you have to understand, even though people might being evil towards you,
mm-hmm.
That's not happening outside of God allowing that to happen.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, and because he allowed that to happen, he was able to provide for the very ones that were treating him evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And so hold on, realize God's got a plan, and don't trust your own understanding, because you'll be, you know, instead of walking through the land of milk and honey, you're going to first have to walk through the place of bitter waters and manna and trusting God and water from a rock. And you're going to have to understand that it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God. So when he brings you into the place of leadership, when he brings you to that place, he says, do not forget me. Do not forget me. When Saul got there to leadership, you know, Saul forgot God. He just wanted, he just thought he was doing it. And he began to take the reins of leadership and the priesthood and all these weird things. Well, David said when he got there, because he went through process, he says, I know why you got me here. It's to protect your people. And so those processes, so you have to hold on to the vision that God's given you. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him. Understand that Paul, that Joseph, you know, refused to not submit to God. He's just like, I could not do this sin against God, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough thing. I mean, when your boss, you know, is making a pass at you, and all your family's provision, or you're looking at slavery or possibly, you know, decapitation back then, you know, telling, disembowelment. I mean, they did weird things back then, that torture and torment. As a matter of fact, I wanted to talk about what's happening in Syria right now. And we submit to God in that. And even David did that. Even though David sinned, David made it right with God. And he still, because he made it right with God, he stayed in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's not about perfection. It's about saying, you know what? I'm going to submit to you, which means quite often us as flawed vessels in our submission, we're going to the cross again and saying, God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for my response. Forgive me for what was in my heart that wasn't right. You know, and he goes, he forgives us.
That's right.
You know, we're talking about the wisdom moment for the day. And then finally he says, if we'll do this, that's what he's saying. He, God, will make our path straight.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
He'll make our paths straight. The wisdom moment for today is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to the Lord, and he will make your paths straight. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.